I'm feeling a little crazy because my shoes are off. I'm like Ricky Martin and stuff, like Vida la vida loca. Like I don't know. It's kind of weird. I know you guys don't know that my feet are my feet dirty.
I'm like never wearing shoes ever in life. Old pants.
I can be like, ah, welcome.
Okay.
To free people. Free people. We're so glad you can join us.
Okay.
That can't be the intro?
No, it's not the intro. Welcome back to Free People, Free People. We are on week 8 of this conversation.
What if they never left?
Thanks for still being here after 8 weeks of Free People.
Thank you for being present. Thank you for sitting on our YouTube for the last 8 weeks, or peeking inside our window, or actually participating, mm-hmm. or listening to us on iTunes and Spotify.
Or watching us on YouTube.
Actually, you know what? The reason I was not welcoming you back is because you're
so today, our topic of conversation is the word breathe. This past week was the week of romance. It was Valentine's week. It's very interesting because in South Africa, Valentine's Day is definitely not a holiday. In this country, Valentine's Day, although Valentine's Day is a thing, we don't call it a holiday.
Well, we have such a lot more love over here.
No, you don't.
Okay. I heard our executive producer.
No, stay sleeping. We have to record this.
I think it's really cool that Free People, Free People landed on Valentine's Day and that the word was breathe, because just take my breath.
You're so Capitan Dramatica.
Not Dramatica, Dramatico.
Dramatico.
Thank you. But no, honestly, speaking about breathe was really cool. We had some couples showed up and some singles showed up. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to have a conversation from different perspectives, but with one point to anchor our conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So to recap this past week, we covered a couple of things. I really like Joseph's perspective on his morning. He starts his morning with yoga and meditation, and he talked about the difference between his week when he implements this, when he's on as such, versus when he's not. I don't want to record this with my...
Sit in with him. Which will be our tape. Gerber, you see what I'm talking about? Come on now. Look at that thing right there. He just woke up. He's all fresh. Look at me. He doesn't even know what's going on. Oh, hey, what's goody? What's goody, my baba? He won't let us record. So we're trying to figure out what to do. I don't know how we can continue this conversation going on. It's hard.
Where he gets it from.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know. It's just hard. But I think that was part of the podcast, though. It's part of us that it's hard, but we persevere.
Yeah, but it is part of the podcast. But today we're talking about how to deal with anxiety and depression as a Christian.
And now he's quiet, so we can go right now for a little bit. You know, what was an interesting point this Sunday was Pastor Aaron was speaking at Mosaic, and he was addressing that meditation was a $200 million industry. Mm-hmm. The one point I would like to share with everybody out there is that meditation is like an inward-facing prayer. And it's kind of selfish. Mm-hmm. Now, you can take the opportunity to pray or meditate outward facing or inward facing as well, and it serves two people and honors a God. Mm-hmm. So while meditation is a $200 million selfish industry of people inflecting mm-hmm. while they're reflecting, I rather pray and meditate on some deeper issues. Maybe some other people, and not just myself, some scriptures or some holistic words that may have impacted you in a positive way. Almost kind of like me. Because I got two other people I got to worry about just in the immediate area. And even you guys, honestly, like if I spent my time meditating, I wouldn't be making this to free people. Or to hand you guys tools and stuff that might help you out. Maybe one day.
I was talking about Joyce's feedback about meditation, which we kind of just covered right now.
Yeah, because you kind of spurred that whole spurt from me mentioning that Joseph was talking about implementing meditating to his day at the beginning to set a tone for the rest of his day.
Yeah, absolutely. And how he becomes more productive because he did a productive thing at the top of the day versus just like default being reactionary to whatever the day has and the world has for you.
And I love how Lewis Howell says that you make your bed every day. As soon as you wake up, you make your bed and you just build in that win. And it just sets you on a tone for an intentional day.
Yeah, there's this thing called the Miracle Morning, which I'm actually going to link in the show notes in the description. I found the reference from a like entrepreneurship woman's blogger. And it lists these five aspects that create your miracle morning, and everything happens within an hour and includes exercise, meditation, prayer, free writing, which is like basically like brain dumping. And it's a great way to start your morning. If you need to wake up 1 hour earlier, you feel so accomplished just by doing the miracle morning, and it makes your brain more productive and it creates really great habits for your life. So these are just things that we were discussing in terms of the topic of breathe that create breathing room in your life to be able to be an advantage.
So on Friday when we were talking about breathe, during the week I hadn't really thought of anything and nothing really hit me. So it was startling because Friday morning, actually 3 a.m., I woke up, and I don't know if it's the pressure of having a share Friday night that woke me up really early on Friday morning, or if it's just that happens a lot to me. I wake up in the middle of the night and I just have full-blown talks or stories, and sometimes I grab my phone and write them down and sometimes I don't. It's like a really weird thing, and sometimes I can go to bed again and sometimes I can't. But anyway, I had this thought and I was thinking about breathe, and I was thinking about the word ruah, and ruah is an amazing word. It's a Hebrew word that thousands of years ago, the purpose of this word was to encapsulate wind, spirit, and breath in one word. And it was used to describe God's breath. And it was used to describe God as wind or a spirit. Yeah. And in the beginning of the scriptures, it talks about in Genesis how God's spirit hovered over the earth. And then further along, it talks about how he breathed into some dirt and created man. So as a professional athlete, I don't know if you consider skateboarding professional athlete type thing, but okay. You have to learn how to control your breath. And when you can't control your breath, you find yourself in a lot of shaky scenarios. In the normal world, you may find yourself with a panic attack or some anxiety or something. But in the performance world, you may find yourself short that one little burst you need to get you to that next level. So you're kind of taught to breathe in a certain way and breathe in your nose and out your mouth to regain your breath. And if not, you might find yourself in what they call the reptile brain and in this kind of fight or flight mode where you can tell yourself that you're panicking solely by breathing in your mouth and not out your nose. Because typically when you're freaking out, that's kind of what's going on. While I was thinking about that whole scenario of ruah, I went to kind of an intimate place. If you've had somebody pass in your life, it's a tough scenario. And I've been around a few of my family members who I sat their bedside as I watched them take their last breath. It is such a serendipitous experience to read in the scriptures that God brings you into this world with a breath, and when it's time to call you home, he collects his last breath. It's just wild. It shows the intentionality of creation and how we can either breathe ourselves into madness, or we can control our breathing and pace ourselves right back into the position that God needs us to be, where we're trusting in him. We're not just counting on ourselves and our own power. So the funny thing is, it should have been easy to come up with something about breathe, because we breathe all the time, otherwise we die. But I think it's so beautiful how we're reminded of God with every breath of life that we take, but we need to remember to also exhale life. too often we exhale judgment, we exhale opinion, we might even exhale a little bit of hate. But if we're inhaling life, let's start getting focused on exhaling life every chance that we get as well.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. I don't even know where to go from. I'm going to just do my best to speak from like a very simple and honest place today. I think anxiety and depression, especially because of social media and how much access we have to the world and how much access we have to what is going on the other side of the world just by opening your phone. It doesn't matter what context your life is in. It creates a sense of envy and it creates a sense of comparison. And we all know that comparison is the thief of joy, absolutely. And I think it's the easiest place to point to when we think about anxiety and depression. But also, it is we have to be really careful to not pick up labels that are just dropped before you and available just because it's a trendy thing. Just because you have an anxious day or you have a reaction to something that is going on in your life that is unsettling, it doesn't mean you have anxiety. And I'm not saying this to belittle mental health and the importance of it, because mental illnesses are real. If you have a mental disability, that is a real thing that very often requires professional treatment. But I'm not talking about those people. What I'm talking about is how we self-diagnose all the time just because it's an easy thing and we can use that as a crutch, right? So like, even in our language, to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so anxious right now. Oh my gosh, I'm so anxious right now. And it's almost like it's a statement that you can use casually as, hey, how you doing today? You know,
baby, you better relax. The pharmaceutical business is losing millions by the moment. Every word you say.
Oh my gosh. And it's just
CBD.
It's really easy to pick up an identity that has been put out there for us because it's so publicized and so trendy. You may not be an anxious person. You may just be somebody who's irresponsible, and your lack of responsibility has piled up things in your life that are making you anxious, but you may not deal with anxiety. Maybe you just deal with bad time management. And so I think instead of slapping a band-aid of, hey, mental health, sometimes the core issue is something that's very simple and really easy to just change something in your habits that can take away the big label of anxiety and depression. So when we were talking and Joseph was talking about his morning and his meditation or the miracle morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you identify as a Christian, there is a higher responsibility and there is a higher call on your life to not accept a label that the world has given you and to go to God first for the things that are burdening you. If we're looking at scriptures, or a scripture that I meditated on and that I memorized very early on, and right around the time that I was losing my father to a fight with cancer, was a scripture in Philippians 4, I think it's the verse 4. And I'm going to paraphrase this. Basically, do not be anxious in every situation with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, I guess. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It does not say, it says, do not be anxious because God will give you peace. It does not say that we're not going to have anxiety. I think that was put there because I think when we look at the scriptures and we see something that has been put in there and it says, do not, it's because God already has seen through the brokenness of humanity that it is something that we have
human instincts?
A human instinct to go to, you know.
And I think we have to understand that somebody else may have a larger capacity for you for what you're going through.
Yeah.
And what you're looking at as a curse, and you're thinking like, oh, I have anxiety. Or maybe God's building you up.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of praying or meditating for someone to take the pain away, meditate, pray, and work on what's going on to make yourself stronger.
Yeah.
So you can deal with it and accept it as a challenge to increase your capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to fold and medicate as opposed to step up to the plate.
And I think this is a really good time to explain your big heart, little heart analogy when it comes to having capacity.
Oh, we're going to do big heart, little heart?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I'll give you guys big heart, little heart briefly. I think the easiest way for me to explain it is if you can envision the bathroom signs where you see the male sign and the woman sign. But now picture a heart in the middle of both of those icons. And you can choose if you're a guy, if you're a girl, make the other person's heart bigger or smaller. But one heart is smaller than the other heart. And that's why I call it big heart, little heart. Now let's say both the male and female have given their entire heart to something. Both hearts don't have the same capacity. And that's okay, because we're all created different. And where my heart might be bigger than your heart in certain circumstances or seasons, your heart may be bigger than my heart in other circumstances and seasons. And big heart, little heart also applies to big brain, little brain, big patience, little patience. We have to have grace for each other to understand that maybe Tanya is giving everything she has this season, and I'm looking at her going, whoa, I can't hang. And maybe I'm little heart in that season. And then maybe in another season, I'm big heart charging, and she's kind of, you know, a little bit sluggish. So we have to understand that if we're honest with each other, and we know that we are honestly giving it all we have, it could just be a difference in capacity that's causing the separation we have. Or lying just screaming in between every comment because he wants to interject, and then thus you need bigger heart. Because I have to have big enough heart for Tanya and Lion.
I love how Pastor Irwin says that anxiety is just a negative view on the future. And that is just a really beautiful, simple way of showing how our mind is so powerful that it can create beauty, and it can create power or create destruction before you even enter into that space.
And I don't want to just breeze over that, because that's a glimpse into this man's brilliance. Lion, not so much. Not yet, anyway. But we're praying for him.
So I wanted to share a little bit of my journey and my experience with anxiety. Growing up, I never had any anxiety issues. I never had an anxiety attack, nothing like that. Never dealt with mental illness or depression, any of that. But a couple of years ago, I had my first anxiety attack around 2014. It was probably a couple of months after the loss of my father, and I was going through a lot of life change. I was moving into a new apartment. I was transitioning in my work and a lot of areas that were unknown in my life. So I had an anxiety attack, and I remember not even understanding or knowing what was happening to me. And, you know, today our topic is breathe, and essentially anxiety is that shortness or a lack of supply of breath, which is so interesting, right? Because God is the one that gives us our breath, and when we have a negative view of the future because of anxiety, we're actually revoking or refusing the breath that he's given to us.
And we're depending on ourselves and not depending on him.
As opposed to depending on him.
But yet the scriptures tell us otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like I created a mental muscle memory that opened the floodgates for this to happen over and over and over again. What I remember is being in control one moment and being completely out of control the next, and not understanding how I got from A to B. And it was a really difficult thing to reconcile with as a follower of Jesus and somebody who has submitted their entire life, their mind, their heart, and soul to God. But in this one area, I was struggling so deeply, and I felt so inadequate, or that I wasn't perhaps submitting enough, or I wasn't believing enough. But I think that when we do deal with any kind of mental illness, we're not meant to have shame associated to that, and we're not meant to have a sense of permanence. I think if we look at any struggle that we go through in our lives as seasonal, then that's a healthier perspective to know that there is nothing eternal. The only thing that is eternal is your relationship with Jesus. And so I was working in fashion at the time, which I've mentioned before, and I was working for a company called Nasty Gal. And if you know anything about Nasty Gal, Sophia Amoruso, She's the girl boss lady. So I interned at Nasty Gal and then went back years later to work, and it was the most perfect environment, my dream job. And this one day I go into the office, and it had been kind of a strange week, and it was like an office full of women, so there's always something dramatic going on, but I felt like that week there was like a lot more people crying, like more than usual in a room, you know, in an office full of women. And I walk into the office one day, and I lived about 6 blocks away from the office in downtown LA. So I would go to work every day on a little cruiser board with a gallon of water, cruiser board, and a little tote bag. So I walk in, everything seems kind of normal, but something's 100% off. So within 30 minutes of us starting the day, we were all called into the boardroom. All as in the design department, the entire technical design department, and all of production. So this is like 20 to 30 people that are called into this room, and we are all let go at the same time. It was a complete shock to, I would say, everybody, and I think only two of the VPs really knew what was going on. And so I guess for damage control reasons, the VPs that were also getting let go said, hey, why don't we just go over to the Standard Hotel, we'll have some drinks, we'll eat some food, we'll, you know, kind of process what's happened. Because, you know, it was a very traumatic thing for a lot of people that have been at the company for a very long time as well. So they go ahead of me, and I just remembered, hey, you got to finish well, it's so important to finish well. And so I went to the HR department, the lady that had hired me, and a couple of people who had made my experience at the company really pleasant. And in that moment of just being completely in shock of what the heck, I've just lost what I thought was my dream job at the time, I made sure that I was finishing well in that moment. So when I left the office, everybody had already gone, and I was walking out the door with my skateboard, my tote bag, and my gallon of water. And there's a 16 flight staircase, a very narrow one, which
you're gonna ollie Hollywood High
every 16? Single day. Yeah, which I take every single day, and I know it's 16 because I went back and I counted. And I took one step, two steps, and then continued to fall down the rest of the stairs. Except I don't remember falling down the stairs. I just remember going from the second step to being on the ground. So I had a blackout moment. But the miracle of it, when I get to the bottom of the stairs, is that I don't feel any pain. So I'm sitting there, and I'm in shock. I'm on the ground. My skateboard's gone flying. My gallon of water's gone flying. I still have my bag. There's no one there, very eerily, in the lobby of this very busy building.
We just made like a water slide real quick with the gallon of water.
And then I'm sitting on the ground, and everything in my muscle memory was going to point to an anxiety attack. Like these, there were all the ingredients, all the components were there for that to happen. And I had to make a decision to say, okay, there is a point of control, and there is a point where I know I can still control my thoughts and I control my mind. And then there is a crossover in which you let go of that and let your mind and your body just do what it's going to do. I said, Tanya, if you have an anxiety attack right now and you let this happen again, this is going to follow you for the rest of your life. And so I caught my breath before it ran away from me. And some guy, he had to be like in his late 70s, walks around the corner and sees me on the ground and go, what are you doing on the ground? These kind of things are reserved for someone my age. And he helps me up and then carries on. I didn't realize I twisted my ankle, so I probably shouldn't have walked, but I did walk on my ankle, but that's a whole other part of the story. You know, everything worked out for the better, and I ended up getting another job, which was even better than the one that I thought was my dream job. So, you know, God always has a better plan for you. But that was the marker of the end of my relationship with anxiety. It does not mean that I do not have days and moments where I'm feeling very anxious. I just know that in those days, there's someone that's carrying my yoke for me. One of my favorite verses in the scriptures, and it's a very common one as well.
John, scripture. scripture real fast. Plug it in.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you strength. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think that is, if there is any encouragement for anyone that is dealing with anxiety and depression,
you'd say start a podcast with a child in the middle of it, because our burden is 35 pounds.
Amen. Yeah, for anyone who's dealing with anxiety, whether you are a follower of Jesus or not, there's so much power and so much health in the scriptures. And whether you believe or not, they are so practical and there's so many applications. There's so many verses that you can apply to your life and they will make you healthier. Submitting your problems to something bigger than yourself is the first step.
I think it's really ironic how... he got away from me. Grab him. I think it's really ironic how you're saying that you found yourself stuck by yourself because you're a breath taker instead of trusting in the breath giver.
Mm-hmm.
So while you were lacking breath, it's because you had taken all of your own and weren't going right back to the bank to get some more.
Yeah.
So Lion is forcing a wrap up, and I can't believe we pulled this off with him. I think we pulled it off with him. It's a little bit messy, kind of sloppy, but I hope we got our point across, and we hope you may have showed up with less, but left with a little bit more. That's what we like to say here.
On
Wednesdays, we like to say you don't have to be in the building to be in the house because you've joined us here, right here. But if you're ever in Los Angeles on Friday nights at Allies Gallery at 8 p.m., we gather free people, and it's a bunch of people just hanging out, having some snacks. We're showcasing our friends' talents and passions.
Your babies are welcome.
Your babies are welcome. They disrupt just like this. Youth are welcome. Singles, couples, old people. Everybody's welcome, and everybody's invited.
Absolutely.
And we just do stuff like this. Next week, we're talking about dedication. So if you guys have something you guys want to share with the group on Friday... Uh-oh, someone's going to the bathroom. So if somebody looks like when it's 911 emergency, I'm going to the bathroom.
Oh,
we're going to close.
He's sitting on his poop now.
Oh, he's sitting on his poop. So if you guys want to share something about breathe, we'll let our people know on Friday what your opinion on breathe was. And if you guys want to share something about dedication, we will let them know. Awesome. Thanks, babe, for making it a little bit easier. So we'll be sharing your thoughts on dedication with our group on Friday as well. I apologize to all the Spotify and iTunes listeners who are listening to all this madness but have no idea what's going on. But feel free to jump over to YouTube and check out the video of this. It is so interesting to see our baby in diapers just going psycho in our studio. Anything else, babe?
We love you guys. Thank you for watching, listening.
And remember, free people, free people.